This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
This music's from Sneakin' Out, called Indian Summer. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galaban interviews Danielle Knapp, associate curator of the Jordan Schnitzer Museum at the University of Oregon. And he'll be talking to her about current shows there, including New American Acquisitions. Stay tuned for Stage and Studio with host Dimae Roberts. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com. And by Portland Saturday Market, where shopping is an art, celebrating 40 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March 3rd through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, portlandsaturdaymarket.com.
I'm Dimae Roberts, Stage and Studio. This is music from the trailer of a new documentary series about international women roller derby players. It's composed by Shreddy Mercury. Today I talk with derby player Juvie Hall and filmmaker Cynthia J. Lopez, who are both making a documentary series called Flat Track Around the World. They've been to Mexico already, and they're getting ready to go to the Middle East. We'll hear how roller derby connects with global feminism. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dimae Roberts. With me in the studio are Cynthia J. Lopez. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Juvie Hall. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are both co-producing a new film series about women's roller derby. Welcome both to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. So Flat Track Around the World is about the global phenomenon of women roller derby, and it's a sport of empowerment for many women. It was first a feature-length documentary. That's what you were thinking it would be. And you had such a successful Kickstarter fundraiser that funded a trip to Mexico, and you had such great experiences, which you're going to hear about, that you decided to turn the film into a pilot for a whole series on women's roller derby because there is just that much going on around the world. And I want to first talk about the Mexico trip and what you discovered there. But first, tell me the first time you met. How did you two meet?
Actually, we met through a friend of a friend, or Cynthia was a friend of a friend, someone I went to high school with, and I had originally started the project just as a blog project, a writing project, and people really responded well to it, and they're like, this needs to be a documentary, and I was like, I don't know anything about making documentaries, so I just started asking around people I knew in the film community, and one of my friends suggested Cynthia, and so, because I really wanted to work with a woman filmmaker. So we just met up for coffee one day, and I think actually we had tea and not coffee.
We were both sick.
And so you're having tea, and things just clicked.
Yeah. Cynthia?
Yeah. The ambition of the project to go, I think originally it was 20 countries. Now we're down to 9, which is far more doable. But the fact that it was so ambitious, the fact that it was about women's growth and a sport I really knew not that much about. I was just totally in, and yeah, I just loved the project.
Well, I like how things like that just work out. You meet and you go, okay, this is going to work out. And you've been together since. I mean, it's been, what, 2 years now? Maybe a year
almost
and a half?
Almost 2 years. That was October.
And 11. So, you know, Juvie, you know, how long have you been playing roller derby? How long have you been in roller derby itself?
I first put my first pair of skates on in July 2009.
So it's not that long ago.
Not that long. So about 4 years.
But you knew how to skate before.
No, I didn't know how to skate.
You didn't even know how to skate?
I didn't know how to skate. And that's not unusual. Many, many women have to learn how to skate when they start roller derby. So it took me several months to learn how to skate, learn how to fall safely, learn the rules, all that kind of stuff. And then I was drafted onto one of the teams for the Rose City Rollers, the Guns and Rollers, in I think it was February 2010. And I've been playing with them ever since.
And you're the co-captain?
Last season before last, I was captain, yeah.
Ah, okay. So what drew you to it? I want to just find out just from the personal angle, because I've read a lot, I've talked with you before about how empowering it is for you. But what really did it for you? What clicked?
Well, you know, I've never been a sporty person. I dabbled in like volleyball and things like that in middle school, and it just wasn't for me. I wasn't into like team sports. I wasn't into physical exertion, really. And I went to see a bout with some friends just on a whim in law school, and I had no idea what it was about. I had no idea what to expect, and it was just a blast. And the thing that really impressed me, there were two major things that really impressed me. One, the mix of athleticism combined with putting on just a really good show. There was a sense of individualism from every woman who was out there on the track. And yes, they were playing as a team, but there was some synergistic quality there.
Well, so did you feel, how did you feel though when you started learning all this and you did maybe your first, I don't know, what do you call it? Your first bump into somebody. What is that called?
Usually just a hit.
A hit. How did it feel when you did that first, you know, hit?
I was really timid, to be honest. I was very afraid of falling down. I was really uncomfortable with hitting people or bumping into people. It took a long time to get over that.
Well, you're not really hitting people. You're just bumping into them.
No, you're
right?
Hitting them hard. Not hitting them with your fist.
No,
but
no,
you're,
no.
Your hip and shoulder
right,
checking,
right.
Just like in hockey or
right,
something
right.
Like that. Yeah. So it's a lot of force. It's pretty much usually your whole body weight.
So once you learn how to do that, though, it seems like there would be a sense of this physical empowerment that you are able to, in real life, perhaps protect yourself. Do you feel that way?
I've never translated it that way.
Okay.
No, but I do feel like physically stronger and probably more fit than I've ever been.
Well, there's something there, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, definitely.
So you were once an attorney.
That's correct.
And you sort of chucked it all. And then you discovered roller derby.
Well, I discovered roller derby about a year before I checked it all.
Well, it was this long process of coming to roller derby.
Yes, it was a long process. It was kind of overlapping with my dissatisfaction in my career. The tail end of my career overlapped with the beginning part of playing roller derby, and I don't think that's an accident. I was really unsatisfied with a lot of things in my life. And at the same time, I started this new activity where I was really forced to consider what kind of person I wanted to be, because nobody in roller derby knew anything about me. They didn't have any sort of framework with which to judge me, because we were all there looking silly, learning how to fall down, wearing all the same pads. You know, like nobody knew anything about each other except what was happening in the moment. So that with for me, juxtaposed on the very structured, very image-driven legal profession, and my personal contribution to that, or my personal iteration of that, that juxtaposition was just so powerful, and it just shook me out of whatever I was in. And I was like, I don't want to be that person anymore. I like the person I am when I'm at roller derby. I don't like the person I am when I'm practicing law.
So you went from suits to skates.
Suits to skates. Oh my gosh, that's a t-shirt.
There you go.
That's awesome.
There you go. So you know, your name also speaks to your former life. It's like you had this rebirth, right? Juvie Hall. I mean, obviously that's short for Juvenile Hall, right?
That's correct. And I did choose it because it was law related. And also my number is 419, which is the Oregon Revised Statutes chapter on juvenile crimes.
We learned something. We learned something today. This is such a great transformation. And I think, Cynthia, that perhaps when you first met Juvie, it was like hearing this story, you had to think this would make a great film.
Absolutely.
Right? And
yeah.
Then introducing, you know, yourselves to the world at large, to other women around the world who probably, I don't want to say have similar stories, but came to it with a story. Came to roller derby, because it's not something you grow up thinking, when I grow up, I want to be a roller derby player, right? Because most women don't have that even as an option. So there has to be a story in each one of these transformations.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you're right. I think roller derby in its current form as an actual sport, a competitive sport, has really only been around for about 10 years
exactly.
in the U.S.
Exactly, right.
And even less time around the world. So you're right. Nobody who comes to it grew up thinking, I want to play roller derby. But that's starting to change because we do have a whole new generation of girls who are growing up with this. And that's really heartening for me.
And perhaps a young woman listening now might think that listening to you, like, this could be something that I could do too. So maybe this is what you're starting with this movement with Flat Track Around the World.
And that's exactly one of our goals.
Well, listen, Cynthia, so your first experience with roller derby, had you had that before as sort of this outsider coming into it?
I'd seen a roller derby bout in, I'm going to say, 2005. So the league, the Portland League, was pretty new. And I thought it was great. And then I went home and didn't really think about it again. And when Juvie approached me, I had all kinds of preconceived ideas about roller derby. And within our first meeting, those were erased. And I just became fascinated with the sport. I'm now a fan. I love to watch go to bouts and watch people play. I love all the different names people have, and the fact that every shape and size of woman plays so fiercely, the team dynamics. I love all of it. I'm an outsider that loves to watch it and learn about it.
Which is perfect for a documentary.
Exactly.
Maker, right? Perfect.
Yeah.
So the subtitle of the documentary series seems to be sort of the subtitle for everything, an epic journey into the soul of derby. You know, you're looking into the soul. Can you explain that? Who wants to go explain what the soul of roller derby is?
Well, that's what I'm searching for, actually. And you're right. I think that a lot of women come to roller derby with kind of a story, but I think a lot of women also discover their story through roller derby. And what I really want to explore is how this transformation that happened for me. I know many women who have gone through very similar things, both in the U.S. and women that we've talked to abroad and in several other countries. So I know that it's a thing, and I know that it's very powerful. But what I want to explore is, why does roller derby cause that? Because derby is very different from many other sports. Like you said, women don't grow up learning that this is an option. Also, it's not really something that you can do as like an after-school program yet so much, except here in Portland, probably.
interesting.
And it's not something that's just generally culturally sanctioned or available through some institution. So if you want to play roller derby, you kind of just got to make it up. You just got to, like, all the leagues are started by the skaters, and they're run by the skaters, and they're owned by the skaters. So it's very grassroots. It's something that's very different from any other kind of sport. So I think there's something in there that kind of is at the heart of what triggers this transformation. Either it attracts women who are ready for that, or who are predisposed to that because of their attraction to sort of a grassroots, non-institutional kind of activity. The other thing I'm wondering is, what happens after that transformation? So yes, roller derby launches these women into this really difficult, sometimes personal apocalypse. And then what do they do after they come out the other side? What are the cultural and social implications of these women who are newly empowered and newly enlivened? What are they doing with their new lives, and how is that changing their world? And collectively, how is that going to change the entire world?
Well, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. My guests are Juvie Hall and Cynthia J. Lopez, who are making the film series about the global impact of women's roller derby. It's called Flat Track Around the World. If you missed any of this interview so far, listen again at stageandstudio.org. Now, you brought us some audio clips, so we're going to hear about some of these women who are feeling empowered and what roller derby has done for them. And you filmed in Mexico City, and so the league there, is that in its beginning stages? Is it just forming in the last couple of years?
There's actually two leagues there, and they're both about 2.5 to 3 years old now. So there's lots of players in Mexico City.
Well, the first clip features Chile, a 17-year-old derby player from Santiago. You want to introduce that? Who is Chile?
Chile is a derby player that we met at one of the practices, who is just full of life and very lovely. And she accompanied us on our journeys around Mexico City. And we went to practices, and we went touring around to the various sites. And so she had a lot to say when we sat down in the middle of the Zocalo, which is sort of a weird place to conduct an interview.
What is the Zocalo?
The Zocalo is a large square in the middle of Mexico City.
Okay, let's hear that. Okay.
If roller derby changed one people's life, can change everything. because once people's life has changed, that people can change everyone, you know? It's just contagious, that attitude, that concept, that whatever you're feeling with roller derby, you can help but feel it and change your mind, change your way of thinking, of feeling. Roller derby is a huge potential of change.
Here's another clip, and it's from Dulce. All right.
And she's in Tijuana.
The founder of the Tijuana Roller Derby Girls. Now, how is that league? How long has that league been around? The same amount of time?
That's been around. No, it's a newer league. It's been around by now, I think, about a year and a half. And Dulce founded it, but they're very active and.
How old is she? How did she come into roller derby?
Mm. Oh gosh, she's
probably early 30s. Mm-hmm. She has a daughter, Maya, who's now 10, I'm guessing. And
so there is a
skates.
Broad range in players, isn't there? An age
yes.
range,
right? There's a broad age range.
Well, here's Dulce, the founder of the Tijuana Roller Derby Girls.
It feels so good. It feels like you did something, you accomplished something, just by jamming for 2 minutes. Blocking for 2 minutes, even if they push me on the floor. But I did it because I wanted to do it, and I did it.
Jamming and blocking. We have two terms there. So jamming is what, Juvie?
Jamming, there's one jammer from each team at a time on the track, and they're the ones with the stars on their helmet. They're the only ones who can score points for their team, and they score points by passing opposing blockers. The blockers, as you can guess, block. So one of the interesting things about roller derby is that the blockers play offense and defense at the same time. So they're trying to help their own jammer get through and score points at the same time that they're trying to keep the opposing jammer from getting through to score points.
There is a lot of organizational strategy involved in roller derby, isn't it?
It's a lot.
More than we're skating around a track and trying to, you know, hit each other or block each other.
Oh,
or
definitely.
Jam each other.
There's all kinds of stuff about controlling speed, controlling penalties.
Very complex, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is.
So really, you could go to a game and then you have to keep going to kind of learn what is going on here.
Learning something new. It's usually a very fast sport, so you can't always see the first time exactly what's happening. You can't really pick out the strategy necessarily.
But. Wow, fascinating. So another clip that you have, and this is all from your Mexico trip. This is all audio clips from your film. Mm-hmm. David Alba, and he's the coach of the Tijuana Roller Derby Girls. You want to tell us about David?
David, yes, is the coach of the Roller Derby Girls, and he had a lot to say about how roller derby was potentially revolutionary. He's new to derby. They just needed a coach, and he stepped up and said he'd coach.
Did. Yeah. Oh, okay. And so how big is the team?
Oh, man.
What's the average size for a team? How many players do you actually need to actually play? What's the bare minimum?
On a team, the teams in Portland, like, we have usually 20 players per team. And it really can vary depending on, you know, where the league is located. I think the Tijuana girls had...
I think Dulce said they had 30, but not all 30 were always active.
Right.
Maybe
right.
A core of 20 were more consistent.
Right. So amazing. Okay, so let's hear from David Alba, coach of the Tijuana Roller Derby Girls.
In our instance in Mexico, we are shut off of anything to grow as an individual or as a community or as in culture in general, because we've been run through history by people that want to keep you in that state of mind where you're not powerful or you're not capable of doing it without us. I'm talking about governments and people who want to keep this power. The younger generations that see their moms or their sisters or their aunts playing this will see that roller derby is a tool to break those paradigms.
So we actually have some ambience of David Alba coaching, but before we introduce that, I thought it was fascinating, Cynthia, when you were providing these audio clips for me, that you were talking, giving some description, and they're actually practicing, and we're going to hear the sound pretty soon, they're practicing on a basketball court rather than a skating rink, you know, or what do you call them? Is it skating track? I don't know.
It just totally depends on, some do practice.
I don't know the terminology, but you know, they are definitely not skating indoors. They're outdoors doing this, and where they were skating is actually a little bit dangerous, you said.
Yeah, they have a couple different practice spaces, but which are basketball courts, but this one in particular where they were having their scrimmage has a steep drop-off on one side. So Dulce actually got pushed off and her skate fell off, and it was pretty dramatic, but I'm glad that she wasn't even worse injured. It was sort of amazing that she got off with just some bruising and having her skate fall. It was kind of, it's quite a scary track.
Well, let's hear that, just a little bit of sound from that.
Viendo hacia enfrente, viendo hacia enfrente, Anita. Respira, respira, respira.
So they were actually, the derby players, I mean, they actually use chalk when they have an outdoor space like that, and then they make an oval track on the court, on the basketball court, and so they know to skate within the line there.
That's right.
And that's all. That's all that's really preventing them from going over the edge. So I think it takes a lot of determination and a lot of motivation, really, to want to do this, you know, because you're not even practicing, you know, on a traditional skating rink. So, you know, that's a lot of, you know, I guess what I want to say is they really want to do this.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, they have to negotiate or sometimes argue with basketball players who want to use the court.
Oh, yeah. I would think so.
Just helping people understand that, like, this is a sport and they get to use the public space, too. I mean, that's a whole other.
Are they respected in Mexico? Are the players respected in Mexico? Because I think roller derby is so new, even here, the resurgence here, to get the respect of an actual sport, because it is an actual sport.
Yes, it is. And that is a struggle everywhere, I think. But I think it's generally getting easier. The longer that a league is around and the more the skaters are active, I think generally the more respect they get, because pretty much any time somebody goes to see a bout, they're instantly transformed. Like, all of their prejudices are gone, and they're like, holy crap, I didn't know that this was so intense. I didn't realize that you guys were this athletic. I didn't realize that you weren't just going to, like, punch each other and have catfights.
Yeah, this is actually quite athletic, and it also has a lot of rules to it. This is Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts talking with filmmaker Cynthia Lopez and Juvie Hall about their film series Flat Track Around the World. And so you filmed in Mexico, and your next plans are Egypt and Israel. The Middle East, eh? Really?
Yes.
Really, women?
Yes. Yes, we have been listening to the news.
Yes, we're aware of the situation.
But we chose Egypt and Israel. Egypt has been around. Their league in Cairo has been around since just this past fall.
Okay.
So they're very new. Israel, the league in Tel Aviv, has been around about a year, maybe a little over
2 years.
Yeah. One of the things that we discovered, or that I've discovered, is that the one personal transformation takes generally a couple of years to culminate. And the same with new leagues. It seems to be like takes new leagues a couple of years to transition from really struggling, really finding places to play, finding skaters, battling against those public perceptions of what roller derby is or what women are, and to grow into their strength, essentially, and to transition from baby league to a really athletic competitive league. So we want to get into these really new leagues and see what they're like now at the beginning. And then our concept for the series is actually to be potentially a 3-season series. So we would go back a year later and then 2 years later to discover how the league has developed over that time.
And so you've made contact with them.
Yes.
The leagues in Egypt and Israel. And they're just like, here, come.
Yeah.
Come talk to us. What do you hope to do when you're there? You're filming, they're playing. I mean, obviously, what do you hope to do in those countries?
Well, we definitely want to film them playing and practicing and interacting, but we also want to go home with them and meet their families and meet their grandmothers.
So their real stories, their personal
Absolutely,
stories,
yeah.
Their histories.
And how are they interfacing with, in the case of Egypt, if we, you know, if things work out well, how are they interfacing with what's happening politically? How are they interfacing with their families and their communities regarding that? And how does roller derby impact or intersect that? So,
well, I would think, especially in Egypt, you want to really find out how it is empowering women in a country that maybe women don't have as much power as they would like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would think that it's actually shocking for a lot of families about, you know, the women. I would be surprised if they get a lot of support, actually, in Egypt. Do you think that they do?
We don't have a real sense
we
of that
know.
Yet.
Yeah. We'll find out.
I mean, are they, you know, are they castigated somehow, or, you know, I mean, you'll find out all of that. And I think that's really important to actually be there to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that, you know, you're going to tweet, right?
Right, exactly. No, I don't think it could be encapsulated in a tweet.
I mean, that I think that is the whole premise, is the power of roller derby to women in all these countries that you're going. What are the, some of the other countries that you're thinking about going to?
We've chosen 9 and tried to pick a representative spectrum of how derby exists in the world now. So we chose Mexico, obviously, Peru and Brazil, France, Norway, then Egypt and Israel, Singapore and Australia.
It's a huge endeavor. So the world of indie filmmaking requires you to raise funds for each stage of production. So you're in the midst of a fundraiser right now, and it's called Paint the World Derby. And it's on Thursday, July 25th at 807 Northeast Cooch. The location is At Large Films. And it's from 8 p.m. till midnight. And there's a special preview and perks for the VIP tickets, which starts from 7 to 8 p.m. And we can't say the prices on the radio, but there is more info, and I have the link at stageandstudio.org, and you can also get it at Eventbrite, and that web address is flattrackparty.eventbrite.com. You can also learn more about the roller derby and the film at flattrackaroundtheworld.com, and I have all of those links at stageandstudio.org. And for folks who want to see you in action, Juvie, when is your next game?
Oh, gosh, mine isn't until January.
Until January?
Yeah.
Well, then they'll have to come to the fundraiser.
They will
to
just
see
have
you
to
in action. You probably do a little bit of demonstration there, right?
I could always have ideas.
I think you could be convinced. You know, give them a quick lesson, you know? And so it's been really great to talk with both of you. And I really, you know, since I've met you, I've just been really, you know, I don't want to say proud, but, you know, I really like how you have persevered at each stage of production. You are fundraising, you are talking to people, and you just have these goals. When do you think that, you know, what's the goal for the completion? Do you project that at all?
Well, we kind of don't, but we kind of do.
You kind of do. You kind of do.
Our plan is to use the Egypt and Israel footage to make a pilot episode for the series, and then use that pilot episode to get picked up by a network. We're saying possibly like National Geographic or HBO. Hint, hint.
If you're
or
listening,
BBC
from
America. Hint, hint.
HBO, please, yeah. please contact us. And I can get you that information. Just give us a contact. I mean, I really think it's a worthy endeavor, and it's certainly not something that is studied a lot. I mean, from this particular perspective, often, you know, people might think of it as sort of this one-off or odd kind of thing, but it really is empowering to the women, and it is a global phenomenon for it to be even in existence in some of the countries that you're visiting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Cynthia J. Lopez and Juvie Hall, so good to have you here on Stage and Studio, and thanks so much for dropping by and telling us about your project.
Thanks for having us, Dima.
Thank you. Wish you the best.
Thank you.
Is there some kind of team thing that you say, like, you know, like in theater you say break a leg. What do you say in roller derby? Is there anything like that? Good
no,
luck.
We definitely don't say break a leg.
That is the one thing you don't want to say. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, and good luck with the fundraiser then. So before we go today, America's only pan-Latina theater company brings their touring show to Milagro Theater this weekend. Teatro Luna performs a dynamic and comedic plays. They're starting with Luna Unlaced on Friday, July 19th and Saturday, July 20th, both at 8 p.m. It's recommended for ages 12 and up. And they're performing Generation Sex, and that's Sunday, July 21st at 7 p.m. That's recommended for ages 16 and up. Both shows are at Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. For tickets, call 503-236-7253. That's 236-7253 at the Milagro Theater box office. And, you know, you can also visit them at their address at 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. And also this weekend, The Tale of Cymbeline, actually, it's not The Tale. It's the original practice Shakespeare, and it specializes in comedic versions of Shakespeare. They're going to be at Laurelhurst Park this weekend, so check them out at opsfest.org, that opsfest.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can always find podcasts on all of our shows at stageandstudio.org or on iTunes. And you can also join and like our Stage and Studio Facebook page and tweet me at Stage, the letter N, Studio. Till next time, I'm Dima Roberts. We're going out with another song by Shreddie Mercury from Flat Track Around the World.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11:30. Stay tuned for Art Focus with host Joseph Galavan. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Oregon College of Arts, Art and Crafts Studio School, offering classes and workshops for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
I'm Joseph Galavan, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. This week our guest is Danielle Knapp. She is the Mikosh Associate Curator of the Jordan Schnitzer Museum at the University of Oregon in Eugene. Welcome to KBOO, Danielle.
Thank you for having me.
The Jordan Schnitzer Museum is quite a jewel in the state, but a lot of people don't really know what's going on there because it's off the highway. So we want to talk a bit today about exactly what people will see when they go there. One of the sections that you have right now is called New Acquisitions. So Danielle, could you tell us a little bit about what we would see?
Yeah, great. The New American Acquisitions is a show that's happening in our